know, just friends, another big happy Mother's Day to all of our moms that are here, and just our appreciation to all of the ladies who are with us today that God has placed in our lives and in this world. One thing is very clear by watching men and women and through history and even watching them today is God's made us all different for different things. We're made differently. Women bring some things to life into this world that men just can't bring. And I'm speaking in this more general sense right now, not specific, not individually so much, but the whole general sense of men and women in the world, that we act and we form different things, and there's different reasons, and God has great purpose for all of us. And can you imagine how dull life would be if there weren't women, if we didn't have both men and women in the world? Now, some may say, well, gosh, life would be a whole lot better if it was only women. And some men may say, well, gosh, life would be a whole lot better if it was only men. We may say that, but in the heart, we know that it wouldn't be true, that it really, God made us both, and he made us both for a reason. In God's creation, it's shown in the first couple chapters of Genesis in the Bible. God made man, says that God made man first, but man didn't live very long on this earth before God finished his work. And knowing the need for man to have woman, and so he put Adam into a deep sleep and made woman from his side. And God knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he completed the work that he started by making woman, for man and woman together. And from that time on until now, God's intent was for man and woman to live together, to work together, for husbands and wives to fill this earth with offspring. And on Mother's Day, we at Old Fort Church, we want to honor all moms, but not only moms, but we want to honor all of the women that we have, because God's created you for specific purposes, that if this world was only made up of men, they just wouldn't happen. So to every woman here today, I thank you for showing us part of the image of God, because it says we were made in God's image. So it takes both men and women to begin to even see an image of God. And so we just thank you so much for the part that you play in our lives. We do also specifically appreciate moms and those who are mothers and those who've had mother positions, even if they aren't a mom but have played that role in the lives of others. And we're going to talk, what we're going to talk about today in our series on right-sized living, I believe, is a very mom-like message. Today we're going to talk about how to think on God things. And the reason I say that's a mom-like message is because I think it's the kind of things that moms are often the ones that help us to learn when we're growing up as kids. When I was growing up, it was definitely my mom who taught me the most about how I should focus my mind and my thinking. My dad was the one who was you'd occasionally hear the bad word come out of his mouth and those kind of things from time to time. He's the one who was more distracted by his job and taking care of the cars and taking care of the house and taking care of the lawn and gave concern to the money to provide for the family and those kind of things. Now, I'm not saying that women don't think about those things too and that women don't work, and I know that, but it was also a different day. And when I grew up, my mom didn't work until like I was in high school, and she just took care of me and my three siblings. My mom was the one who instructed us in the language we would use and having good manners and treating others right and with kindness. It was she who pointed out our minds toward the things that are good and positive and not sarcastic and spiteful and selfish. She helped us to focus, friends, on the God thing. And actually, the one who really has inspired me and kind of in the direction of this message today on right-sizing our lives is my wife, Caroline. Caroline has done so much and continues to do so much in the life of our kids, helping them to keep their minds in right places, to think about the things that are of God, and to keep their minds clear of the things that don't honor God and that ultimately won't honor themselves. In fact, one of the scriptures that we're going to spend a lot of our time on today in a few moments, one of those passages is the one that Caroline often will tell to our kids, remind us of in our family. Moms often tend to think about these kind of things more regularly when it comes to raising kids. It just kind of goes that way, usually more so than dads do. Mom's first concern is usually the kids. And to bring God's focus to our thinking, it seems often to be just kind of a second nature thing, for at least for Christian moms to do. So a big thank you this morning to all the moms that are here that have steered your kids and their hearts toward God things. And a big thank you to you, Caroline, for doing that with our kids. Let's dive today into our message from the series that we're calling Think on God Things. Think on God Things. In our world today, friends, there are millions of thoughts, millions of ideas that vie for our attention that largely aren't things in line with God and God things. When we talk about living a right-sized life, the biggest component of our lives that gets targeted by the enemy is our minds, because if Satan can distract us with the worldly things in our minds, it takes our focus off of the right things that come from God. Our thoughts, our thought life leads to our actions, and it leads to our behaviors. And so depending on where you focus your thought life, it'll either lead you to a God-honoring living, or it's going to leave your thoughts and your actions in a way that doesn't honor God. Do you ever hear a song on the radio or on Spotify or maybe in a movie or maybe at the place you work where music's playing all day or maybe while you're walking in and out of a store and you hear this song that just kind of gets stuck there in your head? Do you ever have that happen? And it may not even be a song that you like, right? But it gets stuck there in your head, and it just keeps playing in your head, and you just can't seem to shut it off. Maybe even go to bed, you have a hard time falling asleep because that song just keeps playing in your head. I could probably bait you this morning. I could probably start singing something to you, and it would be stuck there through the end of the message or the end of the maybe your day. But I'm not going to do that because you don't need any more distractions than what you might already have as you're trying to hone in and listen this morning. But what's going on when a song gets stuck in your head like that and you can't seem to quiet it? And it seems that some songs are kind of more contagious in this way than others, doesn't it? But what's happening? Here's what's going on. That song is taking your thoughts captive. That's what's happening. It's taking your thoughts captive. It's grabbing a hold and it keeps playing and you're entertaining it to continue to listen to it by not taking your thoughts captive. When it's a song, it's easily definable. It's easy to identify. But we have millions of other thoughts, right, that go on, that get introduced in our minds, that can also be playing in the background. But these are more subtle than a song, and we don't always realize that they're even going on. But they're going on back there with these sometimes ungodly messages that are steering our thoughts, that take hold, that take captive. Now, where do they come from? Well, they come from movies that you watch. Someone was telling me after the first worship experience that they used to watch some kind of things they don't watch anymore. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where it comes from, here runs this disturbing thought that they don't even think about. They don't even entertain today. But it comes, they have no idea where it comes from. You ever have that happen before? They come from things you watch. They come from things you read, from social media that you entertain, from conversations with others. They come from ads and more ads and everything else that goes on in life. They're things that we do and choices that we make over things. We can do kind of things that like what we watch, what we read, what we play with, and all those kind of things entertain. There are things that we can do that can make that not as overwhelming, but many of these things just come almost as like an assault. They're in your face because they're just in the world, whether you're looking for them or not. And so if you want to live a right-sized life, but your thoughts are regularly being assaulted by the world, how do we focus on the things that are God things? Well, there's two things we can do. First of all, you have to learn to set your mind. To set your mind. Listen to what Paul teaches in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Set your mind on things that are above. That's the starting point of our conversation, friends, about thinking on God. We have to set our minds on Him. And I want you to think about this kind of like Gorilla Glue. Have you ever used Gorilla Glue or Super Glue or Crazy Glue, any of those kinds of really, really sticky glues before? Does anybody remember, and I'm going to date myself here, do you remember the old commercial, I think it was Crazy Glue or Super Glue, the guy with the construction helmet, and he's hanging from a beam up somewhere in a city that he was working because that helmet's been glued to the beam and he's hanging on like this, swinging there. Anybody remember that? This kind of glue is the glue you don't get on your fingers because they'll stick together. Anyway, when you're using Gorilla Glue or a glue like that, the trick is to put the glue on the pieces that you're trying to hold together without getting it on your fingers and to press that together and hold it there so that the glue can do what? So that the glue can set, right? So that it can set. And then once that glue is set, you're not supposed to use whatever the item is for a few hours, so that glue will cure. And that curing causes it to bond, hopefully for a long time. In fact, sometimes when that if that piece that you're gluing together breaks again, it breaks in another place. It doesn't even break where the glue has held it together so well. Did you know that when you break a bone, where that bone heals, where the doctor sets it with the splint for it to heal, where it heals is stronger than the rest of the original bone? Did you know that? Than it was before? Isn't that interesting? Why would God make the body like that? Why would God make a place of healing stronger than the place was before the break? Maybe he did it to give us a message. God uses all kinds of things in creation, all kinds of things in nature to teach us. Maybe he's teaching us something here. Perhaps he's teaching us that our mess-ups and our brokenness aren't the things that define us. They're not the things that define us. What defines us is when we set our minds on him and where he brings the healing. That's what defines us. I'm not defined because my arm was broken. I'm defined because God has healed it. And it's stronger now than it was before. Then the things that get you and me into the most trouble in our lives are in our minds. And so if we can learn to set them on the things that are above and not on the things that are in this world and on this earth, it's going to bring some healing to our thoughts and into our actions that are going to make us stronger, okay? But setting our minds on things above isn't the same as like you turn your head to above and then you turn it back. And then you turn your head to what's above to God and then you turn it back. And you turn it to God and you turn it. That's not the same. We need to set our minds. Set our minds long enough that it takes and that it cures so that our thoughts are no longer focused on this world, but they're focused there. There's no room for installing a pivot or a hinge in your mind that allows you to keep swinging back and forth. You need that super glue that sets you on God things, that fixes your mind in that place. Now, friends, I want to confess with you straight blank this morning that this is something that I'm learning right now as I teach it. I have some areas in my life that God's brought to my mind in the last month or so that I've realized I've not had set the way that they should be and that there's curing. I'm in the curing phase right now. I'm in the curing phase right now for that to solidify in my own direction in life. And here's the interesting thing. I had this topic for this message in place before I even realized where I needed to reset myself. And maybe some of you have some areas in your mind right now that you need to set toward the things that above as well, to set them toward God. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that what we talk about today will help all of us in that regard. So the starting point is thinking on God things. It's setting your mind on God, on what's above. Now here's the second part that's equally important. You have to take your thoughts captive. Take them captive. The reason that many of us struggle with setting our mind on things above is because there's just millions of other things that are vying, right? Other things that are trying to get our attention. You know, sex, drug, and rock and roll. I had to say that, but it is that sometimes, but it's more than that, right? It's money and relationships and success and lust and selfishness and pleasures and popularity and causes and fads and longings and so many other things. And Paul lets us know that there's only one way to win this battle in our minds. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 45. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Friends, we're not going to ever keep our minds set on God things if we try to do it on our own or by the power of our own flesh. The strongholds, they're just too strong. We have to allow our minds to be taken captive by Christ. In obedience to Christ, every time we feel that enticement to break the set of our mind on God things, we have to ask Jesus to take our thoughts captive for us. Hold my thoughts, Jesus. Lock them down. Don't allow me to break the direction of my mind that I have set on you. God, I need you to make it cured. I need you to hold it. And then we too have to enter fully into the fight. We've got to enter ourselves in. Often we want to ask God to do the things for us that we don't want to do for ourselves. And we don't really want to do them. And every thought that we take off of God things, we allow that to happen ourselves. God's ready to help you take it captive, but you also have to want it for yourself. Caroline just shared a quote with me this week. I don't know if she found it on Facebook or where, but she sent it to me. It's from Elizabeth Elliot, who was a missionary whose husband was Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot died with some other missionaries trying to reach a tribe in the jungle of eastern Ecuador called the Aka tribe. After Jim and the other men were killed by the Akas, Elizabeth, along with some other wives of the missionaries, they actually went to the Akas and reached them, and many of them became Christians, including the man who killed her husband. They came to Christ. I want to stop just a minute here because I hear what could be life flight. So let's just pray for a minute for whatever's going on there. God, I hear a helicopter, and usually around here that means life flight. And so, God, I want to ask that you can help the pilots to get to where they need to go, help the doctors, the assistants, everybody involved to get the person into the helicopter, into the right place. And we ask that you would heal, save, and rescue whoever needs it right now. God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So anyway, we're talking about this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband, Jim Elliot, was a missionary, and he died, and she and these other wives actually reached this tribe for Christ. Sometimes knowing something about a person before you hear the quote gives some credibility. So anyway, here's what the quote of Elizabeth Elliot is. She says, a whole lot of what we call struggling is simply delayed obedience. A whole lot of what we call struggling is simply delayed obedience. And isn't that the truth, friends? Sometimes we just keep praying it. God, help me take this thought captive. God, help me stop doing that wrong thing. God, help me to do the right thing. And eventually God says, you're just delaying your obedience. That's all you're doing here. You don't need me to hold that thought for you. You don't need me to stop you from doing that thing. You don't need me to help you do the right thing. You just need to do it. You know what's right to think about, so stop entertaining what's wrong. You know that what you're doing is wrong, so stop doing it. You know the right thing to do, so do the right thing. Now, don't get me wrong. We definitely need God's help on holding our thoughts captive, and we should ask God to help us on a regular basis. I full well know that my efforts aren't worth much by themselves without his empowerment in my life. But don't use the idea of your struggling as an excuse to not obey God. We need to set our minds on God things, and we need to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus. So now let's take a look at some right things that we're supposed to think on instead of these wrong things. God doesn't just tell us to think on the things above, to take our thoughts captive without giving us an idea of where our thoughts are supposed to go. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And in this verse, it's just packed full of a lot of different things here to help us. As a mom, this is the verse that Caroline would also continue to bring back to our kids and to our family in contemplating to lead us toward God things. And in this verse, there are 8 things that we can think about. So we're going to look at the verse, and then I want to quickly unpack it with those 8 things. Here's what the verse says. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Let's look at what they are. The first is, think about whatever is true. Friends, there are many things in this world that are deceptive and filled with all kinds of illusion. There are many things that promise what they can't deliver, and a peace and a happiness that's offered that can never be supplied. There's a whole lot of fake out there today. A whole lot of fake. And speaking of fake, if we're supposed to think about what is true, then why do we spend so much time scrolling through social media of any kind? I mean, I'm just saying, so much of what people share there isn't the whole truth and nothing but the truth, is it? It's not the truth. People present all of the best of their shiny moments on social media. They use filters on their pictures to make themselves look better and only point out the great aspects of their life that really aren't truly, really so great if you really knew. And if we're going to be real here, why do we look at any media source for true unbiased news? Seriously. Every news source has its angle, has its bent, and yet we read it, or maybe we just read the headlines of it, and we watch it, and we spread it around like we have the cure to some sort of deadly disease. We say that we don't trust the media, but we're hooked on it, and we allow the thoughts of it to spin our thoughts, and it's hard to take a thought captive that's spinning, right? It's hard to take that captive. We also think untruths about ourselves. The way that we look, our poor self-images, thoughts that tear down instead of build up, things about our poor self-worth or our lack of valuing ourselves. We build on these untruths in our own minds that aren't true. Your value isn't based on how you look or what you achieve or what you do. Friends, your value is based on Jesus. And that's the truth. That's the truth that you need to think on. I'm valuable because of Jesus, no matter what else is going on in my life. If it's not true, then we shouldn't think about it. Don't base your thoughts on what's not true or what's partially true or even a little bit not true. If it's not true, then don't think about it. Number two is this. Think about whatever is noble. That's not a word we use a lot today. Other translations of this say honest, honorable, worthy. And what this word is describing is that which has dignity of holiness upon it. The dignity of holiness upon it. There are things in this world that are so cheap, that are attractive to our minds when they're not held captive to Jesus, when our minds aren't held. But when you're serious about God, you learn that they're not right. And they don't deserve your focus, and they don't deserve your attention. We're to focus on the things that honor God, not things that mock him or discredit him or ignore him or go against him. Those things just aren't noble. They're not noble. Several years ago when our kids were really pretty little, we put them to bed pretty early when they were little. And after that, sometimes we would turn the TV on. Caroline and I might do that. And for a while, this is years ago, but we were going into one of those crime shows that was on TV. And I'm not going to give the name of it because it's just not really important to the story. But we got into one of these crime shows, and as we got into it, it was like super interesting. I mean, we just enjoyed trying to figure out who did the crime, how the investigators would gather the evidence, whether the lawyers would be able to get the person convicted, what's going to happen from there. And we also got into some of the characters and the relationships in the show as well. But then at one point, Caroline and I both just started to think about what we were watching. Every episode was about someone getting murdered or sexually assaulted or getting away with a crime or evil plots behind the crimes. And we thought to ourselves and we realized it's just not noble. This isn't noble. It's not honorable. It's not worthy thinking. This isn't something that we want to captivate our minds. And so you know what? We stopped cold turkey. We just stopped watching it. And once we stopped, it had a real impact on our state of mind and on our perspective of people. And friends, thinking criminally, it's not noble. Think about what is noble. Here's the third thing. Think about whatever is just. This is having a mindset of thinking about things that show our duty to humankind and our duty to God. Our duty to God and to humankind. In other words, what are the right things to do in life? We want to think on that. The things that honor others and honor God. The things that protect, that care for, that build others up. This runs very counter to the mindset of the world of only thinking about things that bring you pleasure. I mean, how often do you let what's right, friends, what's just for others, kind of become a burden in your mind so that you actually do something about it? You think about it enough to do something about it. If someone's hungry or being hurt or being treated unfairly or being neglected or marginalized, do you even allow yourself to think about it? About how you can help or have the right thing done for them? Have you grown numb to the images of starving kids and turn your faces away from people on the street who are strung out on drugs? Do you just blink your eyes over human trafficking and poverty and even abortion? Think about whatever is just. Whatever is just. Fourth, think about whatever is pure. Now, the Greek word used for pure here is the word hagnos, and it describes that which is morally undefiled. In other words, we're supposed to think on things that are morally pure. William Barclay's commentary says this of this word. It says, when it is used ceremonially, it describes that which has to be cleansed, that which has been so cleansed that it is fit to be brought into the presence of God and used in his service. Since I butchered that, let me say that again. When it is used ceremonially, it describes that which has been so cleansed that it is fit to be brought into the presence of God and used in his service. That, friends, gives us a pretty tried and true litmus test to our thinking. Is what you're thinking about fit to be brought into the presence of God for his service? Is it fit to be brought into the presence of God for his service? If it's not, then you're not thinking on God things. Do I hear any uh-ohs going off in anybody's mind right now? See, the world is filled with all kinds of sordid and soiled smut. And many get their minds so soiled to a soiled state that impacts their thoughts. There are way too many things that we just let slide in and out of our mind. And as a society overall, we've lost any sense of modesty and self-respect to allow the world to just keep pushing the limits on impurity to the next level. We just let it push and push and push. Maybe you've heard, maybe you've not heard, but the United Methodist Church just held their long-awaited general conference after 8 years. They were held off because of COVID, and they finally had their conference. And you know what? What happened is exactly what we believed was going to happen. They removed all of the language from their book of discipline about God's design for sex and marriage that was in place. And now the boundaries are gone. It is off limits. Marriage ordination for pastors is no longer pure or sacred in the United Methodist Church. I am so glad that we listened to God, that we obeyed the Holy Spirit as a church to make a break from there and to align with a biblical affiliation through the Global Methodist Church. Friends, it is a really good thing that we were listening to God. Fifth thing, think about whatever is lovely. This can be described as thinking on things that bring forth love. Am I thinking on things that bring forth ridicule? Things that bring forth anger? Things that bring forth hate? Things that bring forth criticism? Or am I thinking on things that bring forth love? So many times, people set their minds on things like vengeance and payback and punishment and criticism and rebuke, and that calls forth in them things like bitterness, resentment towards others, and fear. And fear. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. If we're going to have thinking that brings forth love, then we need to think about how we can forgive. The ways that we forgive, and that's going to cover the mistakes with grace, and the ways that we can embrace even the hard to love people in our lives. Friends, that's lovely thinking. Jesus loved the unlovable. That's thinking about whatever is lovely. He loved unlovable loving and lovable, and it makes it become lovely. Christians are to set their minds on loving things, on lovely things like kindness and sympathy and caring and persistence and the goodwill of others. Those are lovely things. Number six, think about whatever is commendable. Other translations of this word are good rapport. Think about things that are of good rapport. Gracious, high-toned, whatever has a good name. It's essentially describing things that are fit for God to hear. Think about that. Setting your mind on things that are fit for God to hear. In other words, if what you're thinking isn't fit for God to hear, then it's not commendable. There are a lot of ugly, false, and impure words in this world today. The words that we speak as Christians should be fit for God to hear. They should be commendable. And the words that we think about need to be just as commendable as the ones we actually say. I mean, after all, whatever you speak, you've already thought about. Now, some of you may be thinking, so what, Mark? You're saying that I shouldn't cuss? Is that what you're saying? First of all, I'm not saying anything. God's word is saying not to be thinking of things that are uncommendable. And if you say it, you're certainly thinking about it, but you'll have to answer that for yourself. If saying a cuss word or whatever you're saying is commendable or not, you figure that out with God. And if you wouldn't say it before God, if you wouldn't say it with God right in front of you, then it's probably not commendable. But let me secondly say this. I'm not just giving a pass on cuss words, but I think that there's something much worse that's a lot less commendable than just saying a cuss word. Things like this. You're not as good as I am. You're worthless. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You can't do anything right. You're embarrassing. You're fat. You're ugly. I'm better than these people. I'm smarter than she is. That person's dirty, so sinful, immoral, so below me. They're scum of the earth. Friends, any of those kind of thoughts, whether we ever speak them or not, they aren't commendable. They aren't commendable. They're not fit to be heard by God. And so we shouldn't be thinking them. Seven, think about things, whatever is excellent. Whatever is excellent. Many people tend to focus on what's wrong in life, right? All the downers, all the difficulties, all that they don't have, all that's negative. What would happen to our minds and our hearts if we would always think about that which is excellent in our life? I mean, think about the earth that we live on. How God uses it to provide food. I already see the corn. It's like this tall in the field. It was just planted a week or two ago. It's so cool to see. Think about the sun and how faithfully God brings it every day. Think about if you saw it, the northern lights the other night. How incredible is that? Think about your spouse if you're married and your family and your kids. It's Mother's Day, so think about the gift of your mother, who your mother is or who has been to you. Think about the education that you've had, at whatever level you've had it. Think about your friends. Think about your church, which is the people, not the building. Think about your home and your transportation, not the home that you want to have, not the car that you'd like to have, but the one that's so excellent that God's already provided for you. Think about God and his grace and his love. Whatever is excellent, friends, think about that. Now, that's going to require that you remove some of that other thinking, that you move that negative thinking out of the way so you have room to bring in this excellent thinking, that it has space to occupy in your mind so that the excellent things can flood their way into your thoughts. And then here's the eighth, the final one. Think about whatever is worthy of praise. Of course, as Christians, we only give praise to God, right? We only praise God. We don't give praise to people, things, or anything else. However, here it says that if there's anything of excellence, that if there's anything worthy of praise, then think about these things. That's alluding to the fact that there are a lot of people in our lives, there are a lot of things in our lives that we should be praising God for. We don't praise them, but we praise God for those things, for those people. It's good for me to think about my wife and my kids because I praise God for them. It's good for me to think about God's church here in Old Fort because I praise God for this church. It's good for me to think about my job. For me, it's a pastor. Yours is something else. But my job is a pastor because I praise God that I get to pastor some of his people, that I get to speak his word to others. There are so many things that go on in our lives that are worthy of us praising God for, and we need to think on those things. On those things. You know, when things are tough, and when you're troubled, and when it's hard, and when stuff isn't making any sense, and when you're hurting, do you know what one of the best things is that you can do to help you get out of the dumps? One of the best things you can do, look for the things that you can praise God for. That you can think on those things that you can praise God for. Maybe it's hard to think of what you can give praise to God for in this moment, but find even one thing and praise God. Give him gratitude for that one thing, and that praise is going to change your heart and your mind and your outlook on life. You see, you can't worry and praise God at the same time. It's just not possible. You can't be praising God, really praising God, and be worrying at the same time. You might stop praising God and go right back into worry. That's a retraining of your mind. But whenever you start to worry again and think about those negative things again, turn your thoughts back to God, the things that are praiseworthy, and let him take your thoughts captive and set your mind there onto whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's anything with excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. Think on those things. I am so grateful to have a mom, the mom that I had, because she taught me about manners and kindness and caring and loving and focusing on good things in life. And I'm so thankful for my wife, Caroline, who's emphasized over and over to our kids about taking their thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and these God-given things that we're to focus our thoughts on. I'm also thankful for the influence that she had when they were small and limiting their screen time and how much TV or anything they watched, and instead reading them these godly, encouraging books, helping them to build a love for reading themselves, to prepare their mind for excellent and praiseworthy things of God. Friends, I suspect that there are some here today who are living with their minds kind of unleashed right now. It's just kind of unleashed. You struggle to right-size your life because your thinking just keeps getting in your way. And these passages of the Bible that we've looked at today that are on your outline, they give you a key, the key to no longer be held captive to the things of this world. Take them to heart. Study these verses. Allow God to right-size your thinking to teach you to think on the things of God. Let's pray together. God, life is hard and we are inundated, assaulted by all kinds of thoughts that aren't yours. Whether we look for it, whether we are in places for it or not, we still get assaulted by these millions of other thoughts and ideas that battle for our mind because the enemy is so busy trying to take a hold of our mind. Because if he takes a hold of our mind, it steers our actions. But God, right here in three sets of Bible passages, you give us the key. God, teach us, help us to set our mind on you, on God things, on the things of heaven, to set our minds, cure our mind in that direction that it can't go any other way. Teach us, God, to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus, that when the enemy's trying to bring and flood us in with those other things, we can take our thoughts captive and not entertain those thoughts, that we can push those to the side and go back to the God things. And thank you, God, for teaching us at least 8 of the things that we can focus our minds on that are going to steer us in a whole new direction and even change our lives if we don't just entertain it, but we actually live into it. God, thank you for the work that you're doing in me, and thank you for the work that you're doing and want to do in each of us to make us more like Jesus, to have a right-sized life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to close today by just saying a prayer over you. If I can do that, just bow your heads and close your eyes and let home do the same. Let me just pray. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. When we take a moment to even explore the majesty and the glory of who you are, whether we saw the northern lights or we saw the solar eclipse a while back and just see the might of you, when we take a moment just to really explore all that you've done, Jesus, for us, if we actually take a look at the cross and your death there and then your resurrection from the grave, we just take a moment to really explore you and look at you. How can we not want to fix our eyes in your direction? God, I pray that you would do something in us as your people and as your church, that you would break strongholds that may be all across this room. People who are struggling in their thought life that's impacting their, could be or will be impacting their living life, their action. People who are doing this battle of the mind. And God, I just pray for a break of strongholds and a new direction of the mind. That you would give them superpower strength, give me superpower strength, that comes through the Holy Spirit's empowerment only, to fix our eyes, to turn our heads toward your things, God. To take captive the thoughts that come in that try to destroy us or lead us other paths, that we take those captive and we toss those out, then we take captive of those right thoughts. And through the power of your Spirit that we begin to live different. I'm praying, God, for freedom in our lives. A freedom to walk with you as you would have us walk. To actually become turned off to the ways of the world. And for some of us, that's going to include changes that we need to make. I understand that. Turning off some TV shows and things that we watch online and turning away from things. And I ask for you, Holy Spirit, to empower us in those ways as well. That our thought life becomes more and more like your thought life, which guides all of our actions. Do that for us, Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen. Be blessed. Mom, have a great day. Moms, have a great day. Make sure you get one of the things the kids have made for you on your way out, all the ladies. We hope that you're blessed today.